Well, that's going to work.
Okay, you're probably going to wish I didn't have this.
Mic green. Did the light turn green on the mic?
It was.
Good. Thank you.
I did notice the green light. When I saw the green light, I looked no further, and I stuffed it in my pocket. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. It's something. I only have 17 pages of notes, okay? I'm one of those preachers that, you know, I'll be honest. I absolutely admire preachers. They can just stand up and just, I mean, they just preach from their heart and they just let it rip and they just touch people's hearts. And it's like, Lord, if I don't have it written right down in front of me, I'll just draw a total blank. So I have to have it written down. Now my wife tells me, she said, what you ought to do is just read it, because it'd make it really shorten your message. Because when you're saying that you don't really wing it, you really wing it. But I guess inside I don't feel that way. But your preacher's mentioned to you folks that the reason that he has me, or that our hearts were somewhat knit together, is because he saw something when he came to our camp meeting, and he basically saw me pouring myself into people. And then when he asked me to preach, I basically knew, it's like, Lord, I'm going to try. I don't know if you can teach people how to do that. I don't think you can, to be honest with you. I mean, you either pour yourself into people or you don't pour yourself into people. Mm-hmm. If I told you the truth about me, you would laugh. I am an introvert. Okay, I just learned how I taught myself. I didn't like being an introvert. I don't like being an introvert. So I forced myself to come out of myself. Okay, and I'm saying, if I can do it, then I know other people can do it. I don't know how to teach anybody how to do it, but I can show you some biblical principles, and maybe the Lord will get a hold of your heart and say, you know what, you maybe need to be doing a little bit more of that.
Amen.
And so I just want to try. If I can, if I could try to help you get that mindset of giving what you have to others. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll try to explain myself. Father, I'm grateful for this church. Lord, I'm grateful for Jesus. Thank you so much for saving us. Lord, of course, if there'd be someone here that doesn't have full assurance of their salvation, Lord, I pray that tonight would not pass without them asking to have someone take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how to know for certain they've got a home in heaven. It's very simple to be born into God's family, and it would be a shame to miss out. So, Lord, I'm asking that you touch the hearts here. If there'd be anyone that does not know for certain where they're going to spend eternity, touch their heart tonight and let us show them from the Bible. And Lord, those of us that are here, Father, many people have made many sacrifices over the years, but Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, you poured yourself into people. And then you poured yourself out for all people. And so, Father, I'm asking that you'd maybe give us a little, maybe just a little glimpse into scriptures from people that are willing to do that with one another and for one another, in order to accomplish something great for God. Father, so I'm asking that the Spirit of God would touch each and every heart in here tonight. And Lord, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What time we got? Okay. Let me do this one more. There's a number of examples in the Bible of men and of women in the Bible overcoming all kinds of odds and standing for what they believe in. Is there not? Okay, I mean, there's all kinds of examples. And God blessing their faithfulness, and God blessing their obedience, and they're willing to step out when everything in their, every fiber in their body says, don't do this, because this would this will end up wrong. I'm thinking of Elijah. And you got to be, I mean, you're talking about 400 prophets of Baal and then say, I'm going to pray that the Lord starts my wood on fire and doesn't start your wood on fire.
Amen.
That's somebody stepping out, outnumbered, hopelessly outnumbered. I'm saying faithful men, faithful women in the Bible, standing for some things, enduring affliction, facing uncertainty, and willing to fight to the death. Amen. And literally willing to fight to the death and facing every type of adversity you could think of. And again, heavily outnumbered, outweaponed, outsized. I don't know everybody here. And I don't know what everybody here may be going through, but I know the churches are virtually the same no matter where you go in New York State, no matter where you go in America, no matter where you go in the world. People are always the same. They're all the same. Yeah, the cultures might be different, but people in every church are going through some things, and this church has got to be no different. There's people here going through some things. Devil fighting furiously. And the devil knows he's only got a short time left, amen. And he's pulling out all the stops, and he's trying to make Christian living seem absolutely absurd. He's trying to make it seem absolutely archaic, backward. And he's doing everything he can to make it look like it's just virtually unlivable. Waste of time. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. How about you? I believe it's the words of God. And I believe that there was a man that came out of the grave that said you need to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Holy men of God moved moved by the Holy Ghost and spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they refer, no scripture is of any private interpretation. So we're talking about the written word coming from men's mouths, and those men were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. And so I've got scripture now in front of me. I believe those are the words of God. I believe that. I believe, I'm asking you, if you believe that the scriptures, what the scriptures say, that you can rely on those scriptures and you don't have to sit there and scratch your head. It's like, well, I don't know about this. And now I know where the preacher stands on that, but I don't know if I can go that far.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that you could say, you know what, if God says it, then that settles it. That's it. Over in 2 Samuel, if you turn there real quick, 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm saying if the Bible shows us some things, maybe we should learn from those things. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm waiting for the pages to stop turning. It'll give me an opportunity to clear up all this junk that's, I don't know where it came from. 2 Samuel 23 verse 8 says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had." Down in verse 11 there, if you'd see that. It says, "After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines." I'm saying this fellow was outnumbered, was he not? Everybody else fled. He held his ground over a bean patch. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Who wrought it? God wrought it.
Amen.
You know what happens so many times? We're trying to build our churches, but Jesus Christ said he was going to build the church.
Amen.
All we've got to do is be willing to stand our ground, and he'll do the building.
Amen.
I'm saying these Old Testament battles here, different Old Testament battles that you see, they teach us how to fight our spiritual battles. Sometimes you're just going to be all alone, and you're just going to have to hold on because God says, hey, look, at this is the truth right here. You need to hang on to that thing. And you might be the only one in your family, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever, in your Christian fellowship. But these fellows here, these mighty men, they knew how to face adversity. They knew how to win. And if you've ever tried to overcome a spiritual battle, I'm telling you, spiritual battles, they're horrendous.
That's right.
I mean, I'm talking about a spiritual battle. I know, you know, I feel for these young folks, okay? Because they got to go into school. Some of these young people going into the workplace for the first time and really getting a full taste of what the world has to offer. And it's dazzling. Dazzling. I know a young lady, saved, born again, been on the mission field, serving in her local church, and wanted to be encouragement to another young lady that was probably saved, and so wanted to be an encouragement, so befriending that other young lady, and the two of them started hanging out together, and they ended up in a place that they ought not go. That first girl should have known better, but wanted to be an encouragement. It's like, it's okay. Went to a place. Don't you know, she finds the guy of her dreams there. Just no Christian boy ever treated me like this. Oh, the Christian boys are, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But this guy here, he's a gentleman. He's just wonderful. And don't you know, she gets all Twitter-pated. And she gets sucked in. And she meets the family. And she loses her purity. After she took the vow, and her mommy and daddy gave her a purity ring, and when she was 16 years old, and she loses her purity and puts it on mommy's dining room table. After she loses, and now she moves in with the other family. And then she comes back in absolute torment just absolutely beside herself, on the verge of a breakdown. Mama, you gotta help me. I don't know what to do. My heart is over there. It's like, no kidding. You took one wrong step, and you started fighting a spiritual battle, and now you're in bondage to the thing. And you should have known, but you didn't know. And now she's tormented in her heart as to where is her allegiance? Is her allegiance to her church and to her God? And she's weeping and sobbing, and I just don't trust God to work this thing out. And it's like, but look at you, you're torn to shreds here, and you're absolutely beside yourself. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, and the parents desperate to get their baby girl back. And the daughter holding her arms out to mom and dad, but yet holding her arms out to this one over here. And mom and dad can see it. The church can see it. This is going to end in disaster. I'm talking about a spiritual battle.
Yes, sir.
Our young people are going through some spiritual things. Older folks are going through spiritual things.
Right.
I love reading about these mighty men here, because they endured some things, amen, and incredible feats of valor, nearly unbelievable things they do, their loyalty, their camaraderie. I'm saying, but who were these men? Who is this one fellow over there they call Adino? Killed 800 men. We won't take the time to go, but you've read the story, and Adino killed 800 men. At one time. I always wonder, how in the world does a guy do something like that? You're outnumbered 800 to 1. How do you kill all 800 of them and you're still standing? I say, he's got to be there at that cave of Adullam. And he's got to be in that cave, one of those little caves. And those guys are storming, and they can only go in one at a time. And he's standing there in the dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? Drag that one off. Okay, that's the only way I can figure it out. I don't know how he did it, but God says he did it. I believe God. God said it. That settles it. The man killed 800 people. How did he do that? How long did it take? I don't know how long it took. But I want to ask him how he did it. He did it by stealth. I mean, a guy with a name like Adino is probably Italian. You got to wonder. It's like, it can, you know, maybe he was mixing, you know, some concrete galoshes over there somewhere. Yet this other fellow, Eleazar, okay, in verse 9 there, and Eleazar fought so long that his hand actually got cramped around the sword. Amen. He fought hurt. He fought like a warrior. And I'm saying, God bless him. And I'm saying, sometimes maybe things just aren't going right, and you got to just stand your ground, and you got to hang on to that sword, and you're by yourself, and you just got to keep swinging and swinging and swinging, because that spiritual battle is not over. I want to encourage you. Go ahead and just keep fighting the battle till it hurts. Amen. Fight it till it hurts. It's okay to hurt. Golfers play hurt. Who's a golfer who's playing with a broken? He was playing with a broken leg or a broken arm or something. One of those golfers. These football players, man, these guys—they're getting bashed around. You're sitting there looking; their fingers are all mangled up and everything else. They got everything taped up, and they're out there playing. I'm saying Christians need to learn how to play hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I've been telling my family, it's kind of like a mantra at my house. Now, well, now my kids are all grown up, but I mean, when they were growing up, I mean, Dad was just suck it up. Suck it up! I said, preacher, but you raised three girls. I know, but so what? How was, I don't know how to... Suck it up, girls! And one boy turned out to be a Marine. It's okay, I'm good. I'm glad. I'm glad with that. I'm okay with that. I'm saying, who were these guys? Who was this Shammah who's the Shammah guy where do these people come from, and how did they become like that? The story of these mighty men goes all the way, starts back at 1 Samuel chapter 22. Why don't you take a look at that, please, real quick? 1 Samuel 22. I don't know what time we're going to get done. I literally have 17 pages. I'm on page 2.
Amen.
So you better turn fast. Let's go. Okay, come on. Don't be like singing. And let's turn those pages. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Take a look there. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all the father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Very familiar passage to people. I mean, every evangelist preaches on David's mighty men. I think just about everyone does. So who are these people that gathered together? I'm saying they're just a handful of folks that were in distress. Anybody here know what it's like to be in distress? Yeah, anybody here know what it's like to be stressed out at work? Anybody know what it's like to be stressed out at home with family life, marriage life? Raising kids, dealing with mom and dad, stressed out. Anybody know what it's like to have been abused and you've been distressed? You've been in distress all your life trying to deal with the abuses that you dealt with as a child. Health issues, emotional issues, character issues, traumatic events that have taken a toll on your life. I'm saying we all have those kind of events. Some great preacher somewhere said, everybody in the world's been traumatized. Everybody's in distress over something. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe it was your years in a sinful lifestyle that left you just totally in distress. Maybe it's years of tobacco. Maybe it's years of alcohol, dope, and that lascivious party mentality and all that kind of junk, illicit sexual encounters, and maybe that stuff just left you feeling guilty and dirty and filthy and in distress, heartbreaking. I'm saying when people are in a state of distress, they tend to make poor decisions. Amen. Some of David's men were in distress, but you know what? They overcame their distress. They allowed David to become a captain over them. I'm thankful that I've got a captain.
Amen.
That I can look to. And it'll help me put my distress where it belongs, on the back burner. It'll help me to focus on something bigger than my distress. You know, the folks with the biggest problems, the folks that constantly have problems that go from crisis to crisis to crisis, you know what are the problems? They can't stop thinking about themselves. You know what these fellows did? They stopped thinking about their distress, and they started thinking about what the captain had for them. There's, man, we got some battles to fight here. Put your distress behind you. You know how David took care of business too, right? How he, you know, when they rise up to play. Read about that? They, those guys took care of business. Saying some of David's men were in distress, but they overcame. You know why? Because they believed in what they were fighting for. Do you believe in what you're fighting for? I feel like I... Time out. I left the road crew at home.
Yes.
There. Just a little better? Let's get centered. There. How's that? I'm saying, now that I get this, where's thy sawzall? Who put that post there? I'm saying they believed in what they're fighting for, and I'm asking you this, do you believe what the Bible says what we're fighting for? Do you understand what the Bible says we're fighting for? And are you fighting for it? Or are you just focused on your distress? You can't do that. You can't stay focused on your distress. Why? Because everybody's distressed. Everybody's distressed. Some just hold it in better than others. And some just got to be, you know, pipeline to the world. You know, you see them coming, and it's like, what's an alternative way of saying, hi, how are you? Because I don't want to find out. I'll be here. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
That there's, I mean, you know what? I'm saying the people are in distress, but they can't get over their own distress to start fighting a battle. Get over it. Suck it up. I'm saying, I got so many illustrations. I'm thinking of missionaries on the field, and their daughters. Their daughter has health issues, nigh unto death when she's 16, nigh unto death when she's 17, nigh unto death when she's 18. And now she's out of the house. She's married. They said she wasn't going to live till like past 22, 23. Now she's over 30. She's got kids. But I'm just saying, misery by the mile. A distress after heartbreak of health issues. And the third world hospitals over there. And now the missionary, he's got his health issues. And missionary's wife, she's got her health issues. And I'm saying, people are in distress, but the work is going on. And the work continues, and they get past their distress. And I'm saying, listen, I don't know what you're going through here, but there's people here that you're probably one of those that maybe has a tough time getting over your own distresses. But if you're going to be successful, and for the sake of everybody else, please find out what the fight is according to the Word of God and jump in. And somehow, and the things of life will grow strangely dim. And your distresses will grow strangely dim as well.
That's right, yes, sir.
Having a little group therapy session here. I'm saying, I won't even use that. It's important. I'm trying to encourage you to see that there's people out there there's advancements that need to be made here at Black Creek. Right? Do I have the name right? Is this Black Creek Baptist Church, Bible Baptist? What is it?
Black Creek Baptist Church.
Black Creek. How about just plain old Black Creek Baptist Church?
Amen.
I like it. I'm saying there's some advancements that need to be made here.
Amen.
There's some gospels that have to get out. The advancement of the gospel throughout whatever county this is. Is this Allegheny County?
It is.
Hallelujah. I'm saying the whole county needs to hear the gospel. And I realize that there's people that are in distress. But we're going to have to sit there, okay, look, I'm not going to be stressed out right now for the next 2 hours. I'm going to go out and I'm going to present the gospel. Because that's the real battle. This is not the real battle. This is what's keeping me from the real battle.
Amen.
These fellows got that right. I don't know if they figured it out on their own or if the captain had to tell them. But the bottom line is they figured it out. They recognized what they were fighting for. They recognized that if they realized that it was worth fighting for, other people were going to realize it was worth fighting for as well. They knew how important it was to have every single man available and every single woman available for the battle. We need the group to go forward with the gospel. Can you imagine what a group this size could do in this county?
Oh my goodness.
If you went out to advance. If you put your issues and your distresses aside and just said, I don't care, I'm going. You know what I did when I really got on fire for God and started going to church? Faithful. I just made it a point. It's like, you know what? If I've got a plumbing leak, because you know how it goes. Like, you want to start being faithful. And so, it's Sunday morning and your uncle calls, your aunt calls, your nephew, your niece, you're this one, you're that one, work, you know, whatever. Somebody's going to call, the pipe is going to break, the light bulb went out, you know, whatever. And I just said, you know what? This is what we're doing, babe. We're going.
Amen.
And if the plumbing breaks while we're combing our hair or brushing our teeth, I will turn the water main off and we're going to church and we will fix it later.
I like it.
If the lights go out, we'll fix it. We are going to church. If the house is on fire, we will call 911. We will go to church. And when we come back, we'll sweep up. But we are going. We are going. And that's it. That's final. That battle is over. Oh, that battle just started. And you should see what happened for the next several weeks. Every Sunday morning. You heard what he said. He said, if this happens, he's still going. Let's see. And I'm saying all hell broke loose every Sunday morning. And I said, I don't care. We're going. You know how long that lasted? About a month. And then all of a sudden, it was over. You know, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you.
Amen.
I'm saying, put your distresses aside. You know what else they were? Not only were they in distress, they were in debt. It didn't matter. Anybody here beside me in debt? Or am I the only one other person, one other honest person? Okay. You and me, sis, we're in debt.
Okay.
It doesn't make any bit difference how big or how little their debt was. Didn't make any difference what their debt was, what they owed. I mean, maybe it was a goat. Or maybe it was money. I don't know what it was. I'm saying they all came up short in somebody else's eyes and they owed a debt. But they were accepted by each other, these band of renegades, okay? You talk about a people in distress, in debt, and discontented. That's a band of renegades right there.
Amen.
This group right here just sort of, I don't know why I'm preaching this message. I'm not saying you're in distress, in debt, and discontented. I'm not saying that. I'm just, I guess maybe the word renegade, maybe that's
amen.
It.
You get it.
Don't get mad at me, okay? We're having a good time. I'm saying they all owed something. They all came up short in somebody else's eyes, but they were all accepted at this band of renegades in spite of their debt, in spite of how they came up short. Here's this will help you. If somebody here isn't meeting your expectation, you know what to do? Lower your expectation. And everybody will get along. It's just like, well, do you have any idea what they did to me? It's like, well, okay, so they're indebted to you. Just lower your expectation. I borrowed a truck from a guy at church one time. Now, I lived 15 minutes from the church. So I drove the truck 15 minutes. And then I loaded it up with a bunch of dirt, and I drove it for about another 6 minutes. Prior to taking the truck, prior to borrowing the truck, he said, by the way, it uses a lot of oil. And the guy was, and he was using his son's drained, used motor oil to put in his vehicle because his vehicle that I borrowed used so much oil. So I drove that vehicle for 22 minutes and the engine seized. Right? I mean, I'm thinking when somebody says it burns oil, I think I'm okay, like a little more than 22 minutes. But 22 minutes, and I seized the engine. You know what that guy wanted? He goes, I need a new motor now. And you're paying half. And he went to the preacher. And it's like, he took my truck. He had my truck. He seized the motor. And I'm thinking, it's like, you got to be kidding. You're using your kid's used motor oil in this thing? And you want me to pay for you to get half a motor? What are you, some kind of a shyster? What a scammer. You know what I did? I mean, first of all, I was furious. You know what I wanted to do. You know what I did? I said, I'll tell you what. How much is the motor? How much is the job going to cost? And he told me. And I told him, I said, I don't care. I don't have any idea where I'm going to get it. I'll give it to you. I don't think for one second that I owe it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You know what? It wasn't worth splitting the church over.
That's right.
It wasn't worth causing a division between his family and my family. He said I owed a debt. I thought it was ludicrous. Absolutely. To this day, I still think it was absolutely absurd. But I paid him.
Amen.
And the church went forward. I'm saying there's bigger fish to fry than $300 or $400 or $500 or $600. You say, that's a pretty big thing. There's bigger. The gospel is worth more than that. This church needs to stay unified. Don't lose your cool over a few $100 or a few $1,000. I'm saying the gospel work is more important than that. I'm saying they were in debt. You know what else they were? They were discontented. The Bible says there. These folks they just didn't fit in society anymore. They were discontent with their state in society. They came out of the world and they separated themselves. And I don't know what it is about our circle, but there's some weirdos in Christianity, in Bible believing Christianity. There are some weirdos. Somebody said the gospel light brings out a lot of strange bugs. Well, it does, I'm telling you. So.
Amen.
Gospel light. So I was down in Pennsylvania. My wife and I were there. We were on deputation trying to gain some support. And we're sitting toward the back and the preacher's up there. And the main entrance to the church is right there. And the guy... And the preacher's up there preaching. You're not going to believe this. Who walks in? Elvis. Elvis walks in. You're saying Elvis has been dead since the 70s. Don't tell this guy. Okay. He hasn't heard. In fact, he's convinced he's his clone. All right. I mean, he's got the hair. And it's all powdered up black and everything else. And you can see it's like he slept in it. It was all like, you know, like whatever, the like gummed up in there and everything. And then he's got the sideburns. And I think he took a big old belt, a big old black belt with a big gold belt buckle. It looked like he ripped it off of a Santa Claus outfit, right? And so he walks in. And he's kind of like a Santa Claus, kind of a shaped fella. It's a little portly gent, if I may say. And he's walking in. And he's like, oh, you know what the preacher says? The preacher's standing there and he goes, how you doing, Elvis? Hey, have a seat with Brother Donath back there. Thanks, preacher. I'm visiting the church, right? So what does Elvis do? Starts making the moves on Mrs. Donath in church. Okay, but you had to see this guy. I mean, it was just like you had to feel sorry for him. Okay, it's like I'm sitting there. I don't know whether to punch his lights out or just sit there and laugh. Lord have mercy. I'm saying there's some people that are just discontent with their present state in society. And the gospel light brings out a lot of strange bugs, okay? And I think if we looked around here long enough, we'd find a few. Here we go, okay? Oh, my soul. I'm saying they're in distress. They're debtors. They're discontented. And I'm saying these are the folks. Wait a minute. These are the mighty. These are David's mighty men.
That's right.
That's who they are. And I'm saying whatever you're in distress about, whatever your debt is to one another, however discontented or weird you are, just go ahead and do something for God. Amen. They couldn't run anymore. I'm telling you something about these folks. They realized their back was to the wall and they could not run anymore. They realized they were out of options, okay? They're done running and they're out of options. Well, this is it. Our back's to the wall. Cave of Adullam. This is it. This is where we're making our stand. One at a time, however it's got to be. You know, do the lintel patch. Whatever. This is it. We're not backing down. And I'm saying this church needs to have that mentality. Why? Because Allegheny County needs to hear the gospel.
That's right.
I mean, I'm figuring you could probably evangelize Black Creek in about 3 weekends. I don't know that much. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you look at the sign Black Creek and it says Black Creek on both sides. I'm telling you what. I'm saying they realize they can't run anymore. Whatever they're running from, whatever their issues are. Hey, listen, we're going to raise our family in church. Bless God, we're going to be in church. Bless God, we're going to be there when the doors are open. We're done running. We forget the bowling tournament. Forget the turkey calling contest. Forget this. Forget all that other stuff. We're going to be in church. And we're going to go forward as an army. Even though you say, well, look at it. What a bunch of ragtag, in distress and in debt and discontent. They're the mighty men. You're the mighty men and women.
Amen.
Amen? No options. And I'm saying it's a mentality that you have to have. They stayed in the battle until the Lord gave them the victory. Every single one of these. They just, listen, we're just staying in the battle. We're just going to stay in the battle. Stay in the battle. That's what it takes. I don't know what your battles are. I'll tell you something else. Look at this. I just skipped through several pages. Isn't that good? Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. I want to show you something. Turn the page. I'm saying you're going to see a similarity. I want you to try to see a similarity here. I want you, if you don't see it, make it. Make the similarity. Okay? Philippians chapter 1. Where am I? Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. I like that. You know, I hope you realize that when you're looking at the New Testament, you're seeing Christianity in different stages, okay? It's in different stages of development. You look at the book of Romans and they really don't seem to have any kind of an organized church there. And Paul will refer to himself as an apostle and he'll magnify his office. Why? To exercise authority so that the people there realize he's got authority. He doesn't do that here. But these folks have bishops, multiple bishops, overseers, okay? Pastors, ordained elders, if you will. And they have multiple deacons here. This church is established. So you know how Paul presents himself here? He presents himself not as an apostle, as a servant. He goes, you guys got something really good here. You got something, you guys are established, you got something really good here, and I just really want to encourage you. I'm not going to rebuke you. I'm not going to give you all this doctrinal stuff that I had to give to the Romans over there and the Corinthians, a bunch of babies over there. You guys are established. This church has been around here a while. This church. Yeah. Been around here a while. Amen?
Amen.
I believe you got a good pastor. Don't know if you got any deacons. None of my business. My church doesn't have any deacons. But he says, grace be unto you and peace. And I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful for his saving grace. I'm thankful for his keeping grace. And I'm thankful for his guiding grace. And I'm thankful that I get to exercise that grace from time to time when I don't know which way to turn. And I don't know what I'd do in this life without the peace of God. I don't have any idea what I'd do. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a new work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he says this. He says, even as it is meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart. Because I have you in my heart. Now, if we were just to look at each other as those ragtag folks that David rallied around, in distress, in debt, discontented, got problems, got multiple problems, but said, you know what, we're going to band together. We're going to put those things aside, and we're going to determine to have one another in our hearts. I don't know virtually anybody. I mean, I show up here once a year. You think I remember Brother Asquith. I don't even know if I remember your first name, and I can't remember your wife's name, Sister Asquith. Right? And that's it. I don't know anybody. I do not know anybody here. I don't have any idea what goes on here. But I know this. I know that if you'll keep one another in your hearts,
amen,
this church is going places. But I mean sincerely. I mean, what a blessing that we prayed for someone this evening. And I pray that you keep Dale, right? Where's Dale? Where'd Dale go?
He's in the nursery.
Dale's in the nursery? He looked a little old for the nursery. Discontented, I'm telling you. The gospel light. Keep Brother Dale in your heart. And pray for him. He's in distress. He's got some issues. He's got some health issues. I don't know what his health issues are. It's none of my business. But I'm saying keep him in your heart. Got some folks here in the front row. Right? Got to keep these folks in our heart. And I'm looking around and, you know, sometimes you can see the pain on some people's faces. And The only way that you're really going to be genuine is by pouring yourself into each other that way. And at whatever level they're at.
Amen.
And that's what you do. And it's like, well, Lord, I shouldn't have to waste my time with somebody like this. I should be working with somebody up here. Why don't you just work with somebody down here for a while?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Or is it beneath your dignity?
Come on.
Right? I'm saying you're a band. You're a band of soldiers. Amen. And you're going to have to realize what God does with people that just are willing to overlook the nasty stuff, the idiosyncrasies. If I were to ask Brother Gary or Brother Mark if they see any idiosyncrasies in me, they'd probably spell it a little differently. They'd probably throw a T in there somewhere. I've got some idiosyncrasy. Brother Gary, you know you got some idiosyncrasy. Brother Mark, there are some things about you, right? And listen, when I'm doing this, I've got three fingers pointing back at myself, and I open myself up first. I'm saying, if anybody here has got some idiosyncrasies, I've got them, okay? And I'm saying, we need to overlook that stuff. It's not important. It's not something that we become divisive over.
That's right.
It's somebody that, you know, do you realize that I need to raise up to my next level of Christianity? I need to raise up. I need to be better than I was a year ago.
Amen.
These guys need to be better than they were a year ago. Everybody in this room needs to be forward, okay? That's 2 Corinthians chapter, what is it, chapter 8? Be forward a year ago? Mm-hmm. Okay? We need to move forward. You can't move forward if you're dwelling on the past. But he said, she said, they said,
well, come on.
Okay?
Amen.
You can't move forward. Okay, you say, well, I believe the King James Bible. No, you don't. Not if you won't be forward.
Yeah, that's right.
Not unless you are determined to put that stuff, the distresses and the debts and the discontentedness behind you and go forward for Christ.
That's good.
And pour yourself into someone. See someone, find someone that you can help.
That's right.
In some way, shape, or form. Well, they don't want my help. Well, then work yourself in a way and present yourself in a way so that they want what you've got. And I'm not talking about your finances or your house. I'm talking about what's in your heart. Those are the things I'm talking about. These folks here over in Philippi, they're successful, okay? You know, you say, well, I just don't share some of the interests of those folks. You know, over on that side, over on the piano side. So I just avoid the people on the piano side. Because I don't share. It's like, okay, well, why don't you, if you don't share their interests, why don't you present yourself so that they might be interested in your interests? Right? Is that okay? We all right with that? I'm saying there's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem when Christians aren't interested in having fellowship with one another.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's a spiritual problem. And Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He wants to isolate you like like the stragglers back there in the church in the wilderness. And who do the Amalekites go after? The stragglers, those that were sick, those that were straggling, those were stragglers, and those that isolated themselves and did not see the importance of staying with the group. Well, if I stay with the group, I'm just going to hear the same old thing over and over. You're with the group. We're soldiers. You are someone's flank. Did you ever think about that? I was in a barber shop a while back. Need to go see another one. But I was in a barber shop a while back, and I was waiting for a haircut and looking through the National Geographic, and they had all the reconnaissance pictures, photographs that these World War II reconnaissance men took when they were scoping out Normandy. And they would fly low, and they're taking their reconnaissance pictures of the shoreline. Because, and they probably didn't know why, they were just told to do it, so they did it. And it's like, you fly this way, you fly that way, you fly this way, you fly that, and just keep taking pictures, and log, you know, how far you're out when you're taking the pictures. So this is what all those beaches look like, 5 miles out. This is what they look like 3 miles out. This is what they look like 1 mile out. This is what they look like 3/4 of a mile out. You can start seeing church steeples and ravines and different embattlements and this, that. And this is what they look like 1/4 mile out. Do you know if after those pictures were reviewed by the commanders of those personnel carriers, those amphibious personnel carriers that took all those thousands or tens of thousands of men to those different beaches? Can you imagine if they said, well, that doesn't look that important. I think I'm going to go over here. Can you imagine how that battle would have worked out? It would not have fared very well. I don't know why they're sending me here. That certainly looks a whole lot more important over there. I'm saying you're somebody, every person in this room is somebody else's flank. And when this church is getting together to go and do something, you need to be involved. And you need to, whatever your position is, you need to hold that position because somebody is looking to you for help. Somebody's always watching you. And somebody may want to get close to you because they may want what you've got up here or in here. I hope I'm making sense to you.
Yes, sir.
I hope I'm making sense. Paul said, hey, stay faithful over there in verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just stay faithful, and God will continue to work on you until he comes back. It doesn't matter where you think you ought to be. It's will God find you where he expects you to be when he comes back? Or will you be out at the turkey calling contest? Where are you going to be when Christ comes back? How does a pastor teach someone to have someone else in their heart? You don't teach stuff like that. How do you? I'm saying you're going to have to force yourself to overcome your distresses and your debts and your discontents, and force yourself to band together and keep each other in your heart. And I don't know how else to say it. It's like the one fellow says, you know, when the washing machine is done, you can leave it on spin there and just let it spin, or you can just walk away from the machine because I'm done. I said what I've got to say. I can wrap it up a whole bunch of different ways and give you a bunch of illustrations. But I'm asking you. First of all, I'm thanking you for letting us come here. What a blessing. And it's a blessing to me and encouragement that you even want me to come here. And that you let me bring some of my friends. These are new believers right here. Okay? New believers, okay? Just started coming in last year, 2015, they just started coming in. Flamenco. He's a flamenco guitar player. It's like, Lord. Flamenco hymn. How do you do flamenco congregationals? Okay, everybody take the rose in front of you and put it in your teeth. Discontented. And you know what I'm saying? I'm saying thank you for having us, okay? But I pray that you would take this message, that you would remember tonight. We had a good time tonight. I had a good time. And we laughed and we praised God and we played some music and sang together. And I pray that you would remember this night and say, Lord, help me to be like one of those mighty men. I've got distresses in my life. Lord, I've got debts that I feel that I owe or that I feel are owed to me. And I'm not getting those things satisfied. I just want to encourage you to put that stuff behind you. And don't worry about the little stuff. Let God take care of it. Okay? And pour yourself into somebody. Spend time with them. Spend time with somebody that you don't want to spend your time with. God will help you. God will help you with that. I'm telling you, he'll help you. And honestly, I believe the Lord will bless you. Amen? Preacher, you told me I'm running the show, so I'm turning it over to you. Whatever you want to do.
I'm glad I heard that message, but I don't think I needed to hear it to understand where the man's heart was. But again, I'm glad I heard the message. Very glad. I love the term pouring yourself into people. To some extent, some of you have grown in proportion to the time I've been able to pour myself into you. Some of you that have not grown, probably because I've not poured the time into you that I should pour into you. Brother Mike, do you think we got some answers tonight? I think so too. We've been talking about this thing of how do you reach people? How do you do it? It's so hard to find churches that are reaching anybody anymore. You're all just sitting there with last year's Christians and last year's ideas. And musical chairs, what church you go to. But nobody's reaching out. Nobody knows how to carve a people out for God out of the populace. And I think tonight we heard a man talk about pouring yourself into people.
Preacher, can I say one thing?
Please.
If you're going to pour yourself into somebody, means you have to empty yourself of you in order to do that.
That's right. Your own little petty desires, your own little what you take offense at. In other words, don't be friends with someone if you're not willing to pay for half the motor when it's unreasonable. Don't help a person if you can't take being stabbed in the back. Just don't do it. Okay? Well, I tried to help them, and here's what they did. Well, what are you trying to pretend you're in the ministry or you're a Christian for? That's all they know how to do. That's how they grew up, being stabbed in the back. All they know is defensiveness. All they know is lash out at you before you lash out at them. That's all they know. And if you can't handle that, you're in the wrong business trying to be a Christian. It takes putting up with people and things that, you know, you thought you'd never put up with. Well, put up with it. Brother Hain, I'm going to have you lead the last song. And here's what I want to do. I'd like you to be thinking about who it was that the Lord put on your heart that you should spend more time with. Okay? Who was it that the Lord put on your heart? At some point in the preaching, somebody came into your mind. And you know what the problem is? I have some people here who just don't feel you have it all together yet. So you don't really feel like you ought to stretch out. You want to know something? You'll never get it together enough to help people. Just go start now. Okay? Just start now. Reaching out to people. You know, if you did nothing more than beg them over and over again to come to church with them. How many times did Debbie Dohaney have to beg you to come to church before you showed up with your family 5 years ago? How many times do you think she said it? Okay, 6-7 times over a year. Okay, and yet salvation now has visited that home because somebody 6-7 times over a year kept begging her to come to church, begging her to come to church, begging her to come to church. Who is it that the Lord pricked you with and said, that's the person? You know, Tiffany, you like to think your life's a mess. But you know friends of yours, it's a worse mess, don't you? And you can be a help to them. Dragging them into the house of God. When I was a lost man, or some of my friends, I've dragged into the house of God with me because I knew there was hope there. You know, a couple of us are still in the ministry. Dragged ourselves into the house of God. They encouraged me and I encouraged them. I was going to take an offering tonight, and I'm not going to do it just for the reason that there really are no new faces here. In other words, your will hasn't grown back from last night. All we do is get money off of these gentlemen. I don't want to get money off of these gentlemen. I want to send them off with some. But if you do have money that you'd like to put in there, and, you know, we're not rolling in money like we have some meetings. I already intend to have the treasurer write him a check for $200 for tonight. But if you'd like to put some money above and beyond that, please give it to Miss Jennifer, give it to them directly. That you'd like to do that, say, you know, it's only a $5 bill or whatever else, but it might help him get some coffee on the way back. He's got to be at work at 6:45 in the morning, and, you know, he's going to be a little tired or something, and you want to slip a little something in his pocket or give it to Miss Jennifer or somebody that can give it to him, you do that, okay? And Pastor Hain, come on up here, and whatever the Lord would have you to say, Brother Donath, we were honored that you came here tonight, okay? And you had our number. Amen.
I don't know. I think there's got to be some way that you can work that flamingo into the right.
Don't hear a gospel song.